I love my job. Rational conformational theory is the key to autonomy. So the goal of this is to explore the geometry of compact seven-dimensional manifold with G2 autonomy using strings as probes, not doing empty theory on G2 autonomy manifold, but string theory. In particular, I want to imagine having some special choice of the G2 structure such that the Wolfschmidt CFT is rational. There will be two parts to my talk. The first part will be basically a review of what's known about the subject, and this starts with basically Shadda, Fugli, and Baca in 94, rather early paper, and then there's a paper by Figueroa, Farrell in 96, and so there was Fugli next to this. And then in the second part, I want to discuss examples where I take a Geplin model and add in three boson, and then or be followed by V2, and gives an example of rational to the G2 on this is working problem. So yeah, as I said, it's not going to be an M theory and G2 on a manifold, but string theory. The slogan is that your strings are still excellent probes of geometry. So why G2 holonomy? Well, G2 holonomy is the condition for having minimal supersymmetry when conducted by seven dimensions. And so that when you take M theory and G2, you get N equals 1 supersymmetry in 4 dimensions. Type if type 2, you get N equals 2. Now let me remind you of the facts about thank you. So what's the analogous statement for Joyce manifolds with FG2 holonomy? So let me give you some quick argument, which is due to Shadda, Fugli, and Baca. So when you have six-dimensional Riemannian manifolds, generic case, you have holonomy SL6, n equals 1 Wolfschmidt supersymmetry. In the flat case, when the holonomy is trivial, you have SL6 current algebra on the Wolfschmidt. Now, Calabi-Yau is a certain in-between. You have holonomy SU3. And so the argument is that the symmetry algebra is the symmetry algebra of the coset CFT, where you have SO6 divided by SU3. And this is actually U1 extended by a spin 6 field, so which is basically the spectral flow operator. And this gives then the Odaka algebra, which characterizes Calabi-Yau manifolds. So when you have seven-dimensional Riemannian manifolds, it generates similar story. So generic case, you have holonomy SL7. And when you have G2 holonomy, you get the symmetry of the CFT is this coset SL7 level 1 mod G2. And this turns out to be a tri-criticalizing CFT, which has
sequel. I've never seen this trick of dividing holonomies in this way before. I mean, well, current algebras, you can derive the current algebras, but...
Well, it's... Yeah, I agree. This is it's kind of a dirty trick, but it at least shows what one should expect. Okay, it's it's I don't claim to understand this really why one should divide by this. Okay, so that has been rather they say it is somehow this SU3 is broken because of the Hohlanemi. But usually you think, of course, it's as gauging the denominator.
Suppose the Hohlanemi were trivial, so that I had SO6, say SO6.
Yes.
By divided by Wohlers is SO6. I wouldn't get SO6 turn algebra from Thoreau's magnification. I get a U1 to that.
Well, from the fermions you get SO6. Suppose.
Oh, you say the fermion.
Yeah, okay, the fermion.
You say that's what is it? This is from the fermion.
Yes.
Ah. Oh, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Okay, so the trigonometric Ising model is the second Virasoro minimum model and the first n equals 1 minimum model. And so the chiral algebra of G2 Hohlanemi manifolds should basically be Virasoro, super Virasoro, and then an additional n equals 1 super Virasoro at C equals 7 tenths. So what's known about this subject, well, Shatashvili and Rafa in 94, they give a free field realization of this and consider some choice orbifolds. So where choice orbifolds are just 7 tori divided by some discrete group. Then Figueroa in 96 showed that you can obtain this the same algebra as a fixed point algebra of a Calabi-Yau times S1 algebra modded out by Z2. And so I will be reviewing these two things, and then some recent work is by Gebner and Neuwirth to study the chiral representation theory of closely related algebras, not exactly this G2, but some closely related W algebras. And then there are two more recent papers which consider conformal field theory description of strings on non-compact, basically G2 Hohlanemi manifolds and other exceptional Hohlanemi manifolds. Okay. So what do we hope to learn from this? Well, presumably nothing about M theory, but at least something about G2 Hohlanemi manifolds. For example, mirror symmetry for G2 manifolds, and then also something about D-branes or supersymmetric cycles in this theory, and this presumably could also be interesting for M theory. And there's also some interesting new technology in rational CFT, which I'll also briefly comment about. So let me continue with the review of Shatashvili-Wafa and tell you what mirror symmetry for G2 Hohlanemi manifolds is supposed to mean. So sigma models, when you do sigma models on some manifolds, you can learn something about the topology of the manifold by looking at the supersymmetric ground states. So they are in one-to-one correspondence to the cohomology of the manifold. In particular, if you compute the Witten index, trace minus 1 to the f, you get the Euler characteristic of the manifold. And this is just the sum of Betti numbers, and so it's the even Betti numbers minus the odd Betti numbers. And you can also compute the sum of even and odd Betti numbers. And so generally from these two data, you can compute even and odd Betti numbers up to maybe a sign. Okay, the sign of minus 1 to the f is not canonically fixed. So now when you have Calabi-Yaus, then you have left and right moving R charges, and they can be identified with the degrees of some holomorphic forms. So for the Ramon ground states, the left moving is P, where this is the holomorphic degree, minus D over 2, where D is the dimension, and for the right moving, you have anti-holomorphic degree minus D over 2. So in principle, you can compute the Hodge numbers from the sigma model up to this ambiguity that you don't know the relative sign between Q left and Q right. And this leads to this ambiguity that HPQ and is replaced with HG minus PQ, and this is the classic mirror symmetry. So this led to this generalized mirror conjecture of Shatashvili-Wafa. So it says the degree of ambiguity left by being unable to decipher all the topological aspects the target manifold using the algebraic formulation of quantum field theory is precisely explained by having topologically inequivalent manifolds allowed by this ambiguity to lead to the same quantum field theory up to deformation in the moduli of the quantum field theory. So, I mean, this may sound a little like a tautology, but maybe it's not. Okay, so.
Sounds
good. Okay. So, what do we learn about G2 holonomy manifolds from? Sorry?
The verb's not the
end. Well, this is in the paper, I mean. Well, okay, so what do you learn about G2 Holonomy manifolds? Well, the Euler characteristic, because it's auto-dimensional manifold, is zero. So n plus is equal to n minus, and we know that B1, so these are the Betti numbers, so B1 is should be equal to zero, so you have only one covariantly constant spinner. And then you know that B3 is B4 and B2 is B5, so basically by looking at the number of Hamilton ground states, you know B2 plus B3, but you cannot determine B2 or B3 separately. And so this essentially means that conformal field theory knows only about B2 plus B3, or that topologically inequivalent manifolds, so with B2 and B3 different, should or may be connected or give equivalent conformal field theory.
Let's see. On the face of it, I mean, it looks like a much stronger statement. I mean, you say that if you look at supersymmetric ground states, all you see is this combination B2 plus B3. But how do you know that there isn't something else in the field? I mean, you can get a lot of things in quantum field theory. How do you know that nothing depends on B2 or B3 individually?
Are they claiming that any manifolds are the same B2 and B3?
No, they're not claiming this. No, no.
Certain manifolds.
No, they're not claiming
different
this.
B2 and B3, but the same B2 but plus
B3. And, well, the statement is, I mean, even for mirror symmetry, this is not always true, right? You have some manifolds which don't have mirrors, where you interchange the Hodge numbers and you get something which can't be a manifold,
right?
Like these rigid Calabi-Yaus. So the same is true here. I mean, they're not claiming that every combination of B2 plus B3, I mean, every that gives the same B2 plus B3 is actually realized as some manifold.
But then the statement that there exists one is, I mean, it's a conjecture, right?
It's a conjecture. I mean,
it's not really.
I mean, the claim is not making very precise.
What they know about Calabi-Yau.
They're not making very precise statements about
what
they claim, okay?
No, I think in the Calabi-Yau case, we knew more, right? Because you had this, of the current. I mean, nothing depended on the sign.
Okay, yeah, it's because it was an automorphism of the algebra, yes.
The whole two-dimensional field theory was really independent. It was just an arbitrary choice as far as the two-dimensional field theory and had this drastic consequence as far as the geometry.
So maybe Johannes is going to tell us about the critical Ising model.
Well, no, there's no, it's true. It's, there's no analogous thing like this sign of the natural question. Okay, so now a few words about the moduli space, so just Neville-Schwarz moduli. So the Calabi-Yau, you have H11 deformations of Taylor structure and H21 deformations of complex structure. And for G2 holonomy, you basically have the G2 structure, which is determined by the choice of a closed tree form, phi, and so you have B3 deformations of the metric, and the B field gives you B2 deformation, so you have B2 plus B3 real moduli. Now let me come to this derivation by Shatashvili-Waffer of the extended superconformal algebra that's associated with G2 holonomy. So, as I said, the G2 structure is determined by an invariant tree form. And so if you take a local Siebenbein, EI, then you can represent it like this. So this is basically the G2 invariant combination of these Siebenbeins. And so for a sigma model, one expects the dimension 3/2 fields associated with this, like you have the spectral flow operator associated with the holomorphic 3 form. And so this is represented like this, where these are the fermions, the Rolle sheet fermions.
Yeah, for the element.
Okay. And so now in some free field representation, you can compute the OP of the phi with itself, and you find this. Okay, so that's what Chatterjee-Waffer compute, where X is now the dual, and dual of phi sets of four form. And then they continue computing OPEs, and here's what they find. This is the phi, and then the... But anyway, the important thing is, so when you look at this, the OPE of the X with itself, so this looks a little bit like Virasoro. And actually, if you rescale fields, then it becomes exactly Virasoro, and the phi becomes supersymmetry current of this super Virasoro. So, and the central charge is C/7/10, and so you have the track visualizing.
Initially,
they actually computed just free fermions. Yes.
But
well, with this specific combination of. And then they argue that this the OPE should be independent of the.
Well, X
was quartic.
Oh, it's quartic. Okay.
Okay, then so the algebra then closes after you introduce two more fields, which are just the superpartners of this field X and phi with respect to the original n equals 1 algebra. So in total, you have six fields, six generators of this algebra, which are these T, G, phi, X, K, and M. And you can write down all the OPEs and also some commutator relations. And now, one important observation is that this T-Ising and the rest, so T minus T-Ising, commute. So the representations of this algebra are at least partially classified by the conformal dimensions of the free critical Ising and of the rest. So now, tricritical Ising, the rational conformal field theory, and these are the representations. I've written here as a different coset, so it's not the SO7 mod G2, but this is a more canonical coset that you write. And so these are the representations. And so here you have this supercurrent. And you have the an interesting field S, which is dimension 7/16. Okay. Now, the tricritical Ising model has n equals 1 supersymmetry, but in some sense it's spontaneously broken because there is no Ramon ground state. So C/24 is less than the smallest dimension of the Ramon ground state. But actually, this delta 7/16 field is precisely what you need for Ramon ground state of seven-dimensional theory. So total central charge of this G2 Hollandian manifold should be 21/2. That's precisely what you want. Okay. Now, Chatterjee-Waffer proposed to consider this uniqueness of this 7/16 field to correspond to minimal spacetime supersymmetry. So if you have only one, or one left and one right moving spacetime supersymmetry, and so all remaining Ramon ground state of the theory must be of the form 3. They must contain this 3/80 field of the tricritical Ising, and then the rest must be dimension 2/5. And now the fusion rules of the tricritical Ising have this interesting property that 7/16 acting on fields basically just gives you one superfield, and particularly if you add on these Ramon ground states, you get this field 1/10^5, which has dimension 1/2. So I mean that this has dimension 1/2 is some sort of magic of the tricritical Ising. And so when you act with the super charge on it, you have a dimension 1 field, and this becomes a candidate for a marginal deformation of the CFT. And Chatterjee-Waffer proved that this is actually exactly marginal deformation using properties of tricritical Ising. And so the number of Ramon ground states, which is the number of moduli plus 1, determines then B2 plus B3 plus 1. So basically what you have to do is you have to count these ground states which have 3/80. Thank you. Let me just recall a geometric construction of compact G2 Hawley manifolds, which is due to Joyce. So one construction uses a 7 torus smuggled out by some group gamma. This is like you construct K3 or Calabi-Yau's by some torus orbifolds. And different construction he proposes to take a Calabi-Yau and add a circle, which is a 7-dimensional manifold, and divide by Z2, where the Z2 acts like a holomorphic involution on the Calabi-Yau and just inverts the coordinate on the circle. So if one is able to resolve these singularities and the orbifold singularities, then one might obtain some smooth manifold with G2 Hawley. Okay. So how is the G2 Hawley algebra realized in this context? So this is Figueroa for real. Okay, so these are the fields of the Calabi-Yau algebra with the S1. So you have a Calabi-Yau 2 Rolleschild supercurrents, and you have this U1 current, etc. And so the fixed point algebra is basically of this form. So you have, so you take the n equals 1 combination of Calabi-Yau supercurrents, G plus G minus, and etc. etc. And then so Figueroa for real computes the corresponding OPEs based on the OPEs of the Calabi-Yau and finds precisely the G2 algebra realized in this context. Okay. Before I come to second part, let me just comment briefly on D-brains and G2 CFT. So what do we know about supersymmetric D-brains? So D-brains are boundary conditions on the Wolff-Schied, and the n equals 1 superconformal symmetry on the Wolff-Schied must be preserved exactly by the boundary. So this basically looks like condition of this sort, that these are the modes of Virasoro, and so these are the boundary states for the D-brain. And so this we want to be preserved exactly, so there should be no twists. Okay? But the extending field, so whatever you have in addition to n equals 1 superconformal, they can be realized only in a twisted fashion. So you might have some automorphism, omega, of the chiral algebra that twists left and right modes. And actually you can also have situations where some symmetry fields don't have any realization like this at all. In particular, you want, if you want supersymmetric T-brains, you want BPS objects, then you want that the fields responsible for the space-time supersymmetry, they should satisfy such a condition, but with some automorphism. So for example, in the Calabi-Yau case, where the Wolff-Schied algebra is n equals 1 supervirasor extended by a free boson at some rational radius, you can have either Neumann or Dirichlet boundary conditions, and you can have for this U1, and you can have a position of the Dirichlet on the circle and or the Wilson line, and this gives you continuous label. And this continuous degree of freedom is called the grade of the D-brain, and it has so Radu talked about this last week.
Some version of it.
He talked about the integer part of this grade. Okay, the important thing is that this grade is actually a real number. Okay, and so this grade has important applications when you study D-brains and their stability on Calabi-Yau. Okay, so in the context of G2 holonomy, okay, so Shadashvili and Wafa didn't discuss this, they didn't have it, didn't have D-brains at that time. So boundary conditions in the tricyclic Ising are classified by Kadi. So they are in one-to-one correspondence to the primary field. So we know exactly how many conformal boundary conditions we can have. And so they are the bosonic boundary states in the G2 CFT are then partially labeled by the primary fields of the tricyclic Ising again. So these 3 zeros we have, 7 of 16. And I put these together in this way because actually it turns out that this doubling here, so these are never Schwartz fields, remember, they just correspond to having a brain and anti-brain. And these primary fields in the Ramon sector, they label brains that you need to label bosonic boundaries that you need to construct the open string Ramon sector. And so all in all, you have only basically two different boundary conditions.
How do you see the little brain? Is that obvious?
Well, it's not completely obvious, but basically by the action of, I mean, you can look at the reflection of the wall sheet or of the space-time supersymmetry. And then see that there is a difference in sign. Okay, I mean, if you know how this works for the Calabi-Yau, then this is sort of obvious. Okay, so basically you have only two different kinds of d-brains. And this corresponds exactly to having only two different possible supersymmetric cycles in G2 manifolds. Now I come to the second part of my talk, which is constructing examples of rational conformal field theory with G2 Hollandi. So, so the basic idea is in this choice type of construction, we have Calabi-Yau times S1. On Z2, you replace the Calabi-Yau by an exactly solvable CFT, which is a Gapner model. Okay, so let me just review briefly what Gapner models were. So it turns out that when you start from any rational conformal field here with n equals 2 supersymmetry, you can construct the internal sector of string compactification by projecting into integer U1 charges. So integer U1 charges in the Evershot sector. And this is best accomplished by constructing a modular invariant partition function which is of extension type and contains the spectral flow operator. I should have said, so any rational CFT with the right central charge so that the spectral flow operator has integer conformal dimension, and then you can extend by this field, and then the spectral flow will become a local Carroll operator, and we'll have some internal part of the string compactification. So the original Gapner construction uses n equals 2 minimal models. And so here are n equal 2 minimal models. I will later or before these, so I want just to present what the primary fields were and all that, because it's what reappear later. So n equals 2 minimal models, they can be constructed at this coset. And the primary fields are labeled accordingly. So if three integers L, M, and S, and L is a spin for SU2, and then U be S, goes in this U1 and the M in this U1 denominator. Then, because of this coset construction, you have the selectionable L, M, and S, and you have field and L plus M plus S even. You have the field identification like this. And conformal dimensions of these fields are up to integers given by the corresponding conformal dimension of the fields in the factors of the coset. So you have this Ramon ground states in these minimum models. They are like this, and the Carroll primary. So Ramon ground states are characterized by having dimension C over 24, and Carroll primaries, they have conformal dimension Q over 2, where Q is the one charge. And then the spectral flow by half a unit, which I will need to extend the theory by, is a special Ramon ground state, maybe this one. Okay. Now from this tensor product of minimum models, you make an extension, a so-called simple current extension, which sometimes it's referred to as a ZH orbifold, where the H is the least common multiple of the HIs. And so in more technical CFT terms, this corresponds to a simple current extension by this field here, which is a simple current. So a simple current is a field that has unique fusion rules. It also has quantum dimension equal to 1, and simple currents can be used very generically to construct a large class of modular invariants in rational CFT. So they're a rather powerful language to classify modular invariants. And only very few other modular invariants are known that are not of simple current type. Now, one might think that one can construct something similar for n equals 1 Gettner model. So instead of taking n equals 2 minimals, you could take n equals 1. So again, you take something like this. Now, these cosets, they don't have very many simple currents. And so this is so you have some problems constructing a simple current modular invariant. And but since G2 is exceptional and 7 dimensions is exceptional, maybe you can find some exceptional modular invariant that does the job. And well, I tried this, but it didn't work. Okay. So let's do something simpler instead, which actually turns out to be maybe more interesting. So instead of taking these n equals 1, you take a Gettner model, original Gettner model, and divide by Z2. So now, to make this construction work, I need to recall some theorem about orbifolds. So this says that any orbifold can be undone by another so-called inverse orbifold. Now, what exactly does this mean? So in conformal field theory terms, the orbifold operation is when you have some automorphism of the Kao algebra and you divide by this automorphism. So this means that you reduce the chiral symmetry. And there, it turns out that there is always an inverse operation where you restore the chiral algebra, and this means that you extend by something. And this extension is by an algebraic object that looks like the dual of the group. So it's the representation ring of this group, if you wish. And so for abelian groups, which is a special case, the dual actually is a group again, is isomorphic to gamma. But in CFT, really the gamma star is actually a simple current group. So it's not an automorphism of the same type as the gamma is an automorphism of the Kao algebra. But anyway, this is... Okay, geometrically, both these things can correspond to orbifolds. Now, this suggests that to construct the Gettner times this 1 mod Z2, one takes, divides first the Gettner model by Z2 and the S1 by Z2, and then extends again so that you kill the off-diagonal Z2. So now to construct the Z2 orbifold of the Gettner model, you do the same thing again. Since it was constructed out of tensor products and then by some projection, you can also take the Z2 orbifold of n equals 2 minimum models. Now, there are many things known about orbifolds, of so-called orbifolds of n equals 2 minimum models. But, I mean, so this one where you divide actually by an automorphism, where you really break, well, Schlitz supersymmetry, this has not been considered so far. So usually what, I mean, the orbifolds of n equal 2 minimum models that people have considered are more of this simple current type, okay. So basically the proposal that I like to make is that these G2 Gettner models, if you want to construct anything similar to Gettner models for G2 holonomy manifolds, you should not start from n equals 1 minimum models, but rather from Z2 orbifolds of n equals 2 minimum models. So use these as basic building blocks, and then and then do some similar projection operation. Now, there is an immediate problem here, and that is the following. If you look at this spectral flow operator that we use to extend in the Gettner model, before orbit falling, it was a simple current. Okay, so it was a nice field for you to have standard CFT technique to construct a multiline variant. Now, after orbit folding, unfortunately, this is not a simple current anymore. It becomes a field of quantum dimension 2. So it doesn't have simple fusion balls anymore. And so there is no general construction of modular invariant form for such extensions. But nevertheless, I mean, one can give some general type of argument why the modular invariant should anyway exist, and this is as follows. So the orbifold partition function can be written as somewhere like this, where these are these twisted partition function will be somewhere twisted sectors. And so these are basically separately modular invariant. Now if you make an extension, so in the unorbifolded theory, which is basically this, then the result, if you write like this, is still modular invariant. So all you have to make sure is that this really is the partition function of the orbifold, so that you don't introduce new twisted sectors, which appear here, by this orbifold procedure. And this is something that one has to do and to make sure that this is really the orbifold partition function, the extended orbifold partition function. Now, Z2 orbifolds of n equals 2 minimal models, as I said, it's this mirror automorphism of the n equals 2 algebra, and or charge conjugation, if you wish. So the induced action on the primary fields is charge conjugation, so phi L MS goes to phi L minus M minus S. And from this, one can easily find the invariant combinations and the fixed points. So, for example, all these fields, L0, 0, and LH0 are fixed because, well, H is a periodic label. And now in the orbifold CFT, so each of these fixed points splits into two and in addition contributes two twisted sectors. Okay. Now if you construct this as a coset again, so remember the n equals 2 minimum model is a coset of SU2s and U1s. The twisted sectors are labeled as follows. So you have lambda for SU2 and mu for sigma for the two U1s, right? So the U1 have each two twisted sectors. Okay, and then you have to compute the conformal dimensions in the twisted sector. And here is what you find. So conformal dimensions in the twisted sector are C over 24, where C is the central charge of the minimum model, and then you have this correction K minus 2 lambda squared over 16H. And then, because the two fields in the twisted sector, they differ by one half, depending on the value of this degeneracy labeled psi. So what you see from here is that there are never new Ramon ground states, except when actually k is even and lambda is k over 2. So so in particular in the Gapner model, mod Z2, there will not be any new Ramon ground state except if all of these k's are even. Okay. So in particular in the quintic, where the quintic is a tensor product of 5 k equals 3 minimum models, there are no contributions from twisted sectors. So the untwisted sector contributes just, well, half basically of the Ramon ground states of the quintic. And so what you find for B2 plus B3 from the CFT is 103, okay? So this 208 is 2 times B2 plus B3 plus 1, which is B0. And you have no contribution from the twisted sector. Now, what is the geometric interpretation of this? So the quintic okay, so if you do this Joyce type of construction for the quintic, you can have this anti-holomorphic involution. Okay, I can't be sure that this is precisely the Z2 that I'm dividing out by, but at least it's one Z2 that looks pretty similar. And turns out that the fixed point set of this anti-holomorphic involution is a special Lagrangian, which is an RP3 in this quintic Calabi-Yau. It's actually one of the few non-examples of special Lagrangians in the quintic. Now, the first Betti number of RP3 is zero. And then by results of Joyce, it follows that there is actually no resolution of this singular G2 manifold to a smooth G2 manifold. So this is exactly what we saw in CFT, that there was no Ramon Branstad from the twisted sector which you could use to resolve the singularity. Okay, now another observation is that all deformations of the G2 structure actually come from the Calabi-Yau. And so given given the enormous amount of knowledge about Calabi-Yau moduli space, one should be able to make some computations in string theory on the Calabi-Yau on this singular G2 manifold. Okay, then there's another speculation is as follows. So since we cannot resolve the singularity, and because all deformations come from the Calabi-Yau, the structure that this singular G2 Holonomy manifold is of this form Calabi-Yau times this 1 mod Z2 is valid throughout the moduli space. And so one might conjecture, or maybe think so, since the CFT sees always this, maybe this is valid more generally. One slide left, which is a summary. So basically what I've shown you is that there is some explicit realization of rational conformal field theory with G2 holonomy. And the chiral algebra is here obtained as a fixed point algebra of the n equals 2 under this mirror automorphism. And then you have this extension by a specific spin 3 half field. So this is interesting from the CFT point of view because this field is not a simple term. Okay. And also, I mean, the orbifold of these minimum model space automorphisms has apparently not been computed before. Now, also the results lead to interesting speculations about string theory or maybe more general G2 Holonomy manifolds. And yes, okay, so few open problems or generalizations. Well, obvious generalization is, of course, to take Kazama-Suzuki models, if you're powerful enough to do all these orbifoldings. And also, I mean, I told you, so you can also investigate rather easily boundary states or supersymmetric cycles in this theory. And this should at least be some useful input for maybe even M-theory on G2 Holonomy manifold. Okay. Thank you.